Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Living Well with Ann Beal. Our show is a health show, a lifestyle show, and an empowerment show rolled into one. Get ready to hear some stories of success, healthy living tips, and suggestions to get motivated and live your best life. Now, here is your host, Ann Beal.
Good day, and welcome to the show today. I am joined today by Dr. Jim Slaughter, stress and anger specialist.
Hey, everybody. Good to be back, Ann. Thanks for having me today.
You are welcome. We have a lot to talk about today, don't we?
Oh, man, we really do. This is a topic that affects everybody, so it's very important.
Yes. Well, I wanted to talk today about stress on the body, and mostly because of the medical emergencies that I have been going through with my family. Emergencies where my brother had a heart attack and had major surgery, and many times they thought he was going to die. And so we talked about that in the last show, about a lot of the miracles that happened there at the hospital and his recovery in ICU. And it really helped us see, being there, just the immense stress on the body that Robin, his wife, was going through coming out of her own surgery, back surgery, and her immediate having to go to the hospital for my brother, who had a heart attack, with her stitches on a walker. It was just incredible. So the trauma on her body and just the immense trauma that Larry, my brother, has been going through with a ventilator and hooked up to 15 machines and just everything that he's gone through. And we've really, really seen immense stress, haven't we?
We sure have. And felt it, too.
Yeah. We're the family members feeling that stress. My dad fell and broke his hip a few weeks ago. And I guess it's been like 7 weeks now. And his recovery. And so we have just been kind of trying to be there for both of the families. And before that, my family in Arkansas had a lot of emergencies. So this year so far has just been filled with a lot of stress for us, but nowhere near as much as the people who truly suffered. And so we have this great burden over the last week to really help people out there who are suffering with immense stress. And so I will let you start, Dr. Slaughter.
Well, thank you. And I was thinking as you were saying that, and I think I said it earlier, but stress is a problem that affects everyone at one time or another. I mean, nobody's immune from stress. Everybody has stress. And so it's a common universal problem. And so it's important for us to address this. And you and I have talked before about doing a program about stress.
Yes.
Some of the facts and figures about it, what it does to us, how it works on us. And then also how to manage it, how to handle it, what we can do about it to live well, even though everyone endures stress at one time or another. And so this is a really great opportunity, you know, for us to do that. I first got involved in just thinking about stress and actually studying, researching stress. I was a professor at the time and doing some part-time work at a university in our area, and I was asked by the academic dean to teach a course on stress management, and I didn't really know a lot about that at the time. And so, but when you're assigned a topic like that, you get involved real fast. You start doing the research that it takes to get up on the topic and everything and get ready to teach it. And so I began doing a lot of reading and research in the field of stress and stress management. So I learned a lot about it. So that was my first real introduction to the topic of stress and stress management. I like to say sometimes that I feel like I'm an expert in stress because I've had so much of it.
Well, I think when you were doing all that, and I saw everything you were doing and learning, and then you were teaching it, I was like, whoa, I need to learn this more. I don't think I realized how much more there was to learn on stress management, what it did to the body, mm-hmm. until you started diving in to every book you could find about stress, yeah, every textbook. Right. And you came across some awesome, awesome books that you really feel like are some of the best ones out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there are three that stood out for me that I think are, for my money, the best books out there on stress and stress management.
I just remember the one about zebras. That's the one that I think of so often.
Yeah, and I'll mention this one a bit later as I'll talk about the contribution that some authors have made to my thinking and to the idea of stress management. But the one that you're talking about is the book by M.D. Robert Sapolsky. It's entitled Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers.
So why don't zebras get ulcers?
I'm going to answer that question later in the program.
Thank you. Well, okay, so why don't we start with what stress actually is? I mean, we've observed it immensely and felt it, but what actually is it?
Yeah, everyone has felt stress and the anxiety that produces the idea of the stress response and everything, which we'll talk about. But I like Walt Schaefer's definition best. And I'll mention Walt Schaefer was a prof at University of California, Davis for a long, long time, may still be for all I know, but he wrote maybe the best book I've ever read on stress and stress management, and he entitles it Stress Management for Wellness. And his approach to it is, you know, is a wellness perspective. We want to be well. We want to get well if we're sick. We want to stay well. And the best way to do that is to reduce the stress in our lives. And so stress management for wellness. And here's the way he defined it. I think it's the most concise definition I've ever read. He says that stress is the body's response to demands placed on it. Stress is the body's response to demands placed on it. It could be physical stress, it could be emotional stress, it could be mental stress, and everybody's experienced all those forms of stress at one time or another.
Well, when I think of stress, I think of your body responding. It feels almost like you're in danger. So I've always thought of it like your body responding as though you're in danger.
Yeah, that's really true, because it starts with a stressor, but the stressor really is a threat. A stressor is a threat. The reason it starts the stress response is because it threatens us in some way in our head. It threatens us, and then our body takes over from there.
Yeah, I can see that. Because even, you know, with my brother, he's important to my life.
Right, right.
And I don't want anything to happen to him. And I definitely wouldn't want him to not be here. So that is a danger to me. So my body just immensely went into a severe stress response, almost like you're having a heart attack, almost. I mean, you almost feel like your heart's racing, you feel some pain, you feel trouble breathing, mm-hmm. and it's a much smaller stressor, but it definitely goes into that extreme panic almost.
Yeah, and panic could be, that's a word that could describe the effects of severe stress.
Yeah, okay. All right. Like a burst of energy would be a smaller amount of stress.
Yeah, that's our body prepares us to meet the threat. And one of the ways it does it is by increasing our metabolism. And what that does, it gives us a boost of energy that you're talking about.
Now, what's interesting is people respond differently to stress, you know, and I think that I've been amazed watching Robin at the hospital in light of her own physical condition after her surgery, to be able to handle just the moments, so many moments when my brother was near death. And they would say, you know, we'll let you know in 45 minutes if he'll make it.
Yeah.
And
prepare for the worst.
Or it may be 2 hours. Yeah. Or, and she would, we'd be in that waiting room. And I know I was having trouble, really a lot of trouble. And I know she was having an immense more than I was, you know. And just, I tell you, you never know how strong you are until you have to be.
Well, I've heard that. And, yes, it is true. And the thing is that strength comes in different forms. Sometimes it's not just a matter of being, you know, physically strong and enduring. It's sometimes strength has to do with knowing what to do with the stress, how to manage it. And so we're going to talk about that in the second hour of our program, or second part of our program.
Right, because we want to give you the skills, and even Robin in the hospital and my brother Larry, to help them know what they can do. They're doing incredible. But I know that as it lingers on for Larry, he went back to ICU last night. They get discouraged and they're just worn down. And so what do you do when you get like that to really help you guys?
Right. And we hope to do offer a lot of things that might be really practical solutions to common stressors that people have who are listening today.
Well, and one of the main things, if stress happens too often or goes on too long, it can start wearing the body down. And there's the book Deadly Emotions that talks about that.
Right, Don Colbert's book.
Yeah, and he talks about headaches and upset stomach and back pain and trouble sleeping, and that's the milder symptoms.
Right.
It just starts weakening your immune system.
And that's a big part of it. You know, really, Colbert's book is one of the three that I was going to mention, by the way. And I mean, he talks about the fact that our emotions can kill us. That is, stress can kill us.
Yes.
And that we become our bodies become diseased because our immune system shuts down as a result of stress and our inability to handle it very well.
Right. And so having skills, having tools to work with that, just getting more coping skills. I don't think anybody has enough, you know.
No, you're right.
You never have enough. So you can always learn more. And of course, if you already have health problems, stress can wear you down more.
Right.
And but most people, even a little stress or more stress long-term can make them moody, tense.
Really?
Okay. Depressed.
Right.
And, sure, and relationships often suffer.
Yep, they sure do.
And
they
and I guess also, of course, work and school, because I see lots of adults and kids that stress just really, that makes it very hard for them to function in their occupation.
This might be a good point or a good place to say that there are two basic kinds of stress. There's actually good stress. Which is the stress that athletes feel when they get psyched up or pumped up for an event or an athletic competition. That's not bad, that's good, because it prepares us physically, mentally, and emotionally to perform at our highest peak, our highest level. It's the stress that we feel before an exam if we're students in school.
Like this morning, what got me up super early to make sure I was totally prepared.
Preparing for the program this morning, right?
That's good stress.
And that's good stress. But the kind that most of us think about and that we deal with probably most of the time is bad stress. It's the killer stress. And that's more what we want to talk about today and how to deal with that.
Well, and I know that Robin, my sister-in-law, did some really good things to help her with stress. And one of the best things I saw is that she reached out. She reached out to the community. She reached out to loved ones. She reached out to her friends for help. Mm-hmm. And so many people try to carry it by themselves for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And they keep it in their family or whatever. And they don't reach out for help. And that is one of the main coping skills for stress is to reach out to people and let them come to assist you. And rather they, you know, we had some people that came. You know, definitely my brother Larry reached out because his wife was, of course, was in the hospital. So he reached out to coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a coworker, Kathy, who helped him and got him to the hospital.
Yeah.
And also took care of his car to make sure I had a place to go.
Right.
Let work people know so that he wouldn't have to worry about that. And also got help to, they all helped Robin get from one hospital an hour away to the other hospital.
Yes.
And so friends immediately, loved ones, and people that they like were acquaintances that knew them like through work or whatever, but they weren't really close to, really rallied around them and helped them. And so by their presence, by, you know, meals, mm-hmm. Cards, my sister let everyone know how to send cards to the hospital, mm-hmm. and how to, so they get to Larry, how to send birthday cards with his birthday, which was a few days ago, which was right. really cool. Reached out through Facebook mm-hmm. For support, and right. so many people were praying all over the world because of that. And so that was some really, really great things that Robin started by just reaching out.
Yeah, there's a false belief that a lot of people have that that I should be strong enough to handle this by myself. And if I don't carry it by myself, then that shows some kind of an inordinate weakness, you know, and I don't want to show that.
Right.
That's a false belief.
Well, and it's hindering because you limit the people who love you from even helping you.
Sure, you shut them off.
And you can decide how they help you, you mm-hmm. know.
Right.
You can decide all that. But having them there for you, and some people reach out a little bit to the super close friends and super mm-hmm. close family. So, they limit. But I think that what has been so cool that really surprised Robin, because in her desperation and her being stranded at the hospital, and Larry, I mean, it was such an immense emergency that yeah. they had to reach out to people besides just close family and friends. Mm-hmm. And they have truly been so blown away by the immense support of the community, their work, their, you know, just everyone across the world. And I think it's really helped strengthen them.
Sure. A part of our humanness is our need to connect, you know, with other people. We're community oriented down deep inside. And so, you know, we need to be thinking about that and sharing our lives with people and reaching out when we're in need.
That's really good. That's really important. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So for you, there's good stress. And there's bad stress. And that's why I had a professor stress specialist on today to help, because I'm quite passionate, emotional, not necessarily by any means a PhD. And so it's very helpful. I think for you, we would like you to help us know what we can do about the stress.
Okay. It might help to understand what happens to us when we begin to be stressed. And people use that term all the time today. I am so stressed. I am so stressed out. I don't, you know what to do. Don't know where I'm going or what I'm doing. You know, I'm so stressed. And so we deal with that all the time. And so it might be helpful to understand kind of there's a progression or a procession of things that happen. I'm just going to go through it quickly so that I don't want to go into too much detail, but just so I think it'll help, if that's okay.
Cool. Okay. That's great.
It begins with a perceived threat, and that comes through our eyes. Schaefer says that we can actually sense it sometimes other ways, but mainly the threat. There's a threat. There's something that makes us afraid out there. Can come through our eyes or other sense organs. We smell smoke, mm-hmm. or we hear a crash or something like that. But all of a sudden, there's something. There's a threat, and our senses become alerted to that. And immediately, it's like an impulse goes from that sense organ to our pituitary gland through the brain into the brain, and from the pituitary gland, that gland notifies a bunch of other glands in the body and organs in the body to go to work to protect us. So we go into this stress response that is a self-defense mechanism that is automatic when we are afraid of something out there, okay? And so we have all these things going on. We have the adrenaline poured into our blood, sugar poured into our blood, all kinds of stuff going on, thyroxine poured into our blood. And what that does is it sets off this response. It's a defensive thing to help protect us.
And you guys are you're missing out on all the hand movements and the, he's really fascinating.
I can't say this without using my hands, but what happens then physiologically is our heart beats faster, we start breathing faster, our metabolism speeds up, our cells are burning sugar and stuff a lot faster. We're like a Formula One race car, okay, that's getting revved up to go. Our muscles tighten, our pupils dilate, our palms get sweaty, our brain goes on high alert. And so that's what happens to us, and that's why we begin to feel the anxiety. The first thing that hits our bloodstream is adrenaline when we see a threat. or hear a threat or whatever, when we sense a threat. And so what that does is that's what produces that sense of anxiety that we feel when we're scared or when we feel stressed. That's what that is. And so the body has gone into an automatic defensive mode to prepare us either to fight or to flee. And so that's why this has been called the fight or flight response. That's basically what goes on with us when this happens. And so
how come they don't have freeze in that? Do you not freeze ever? Does anyone just, you know, because I'm asking that because we had a client the other day that he was so upset by the fact that a house he had built, once he moved in, all these problems started happening, and the coat rack fell down, and he couldn't deal with it. I mean, he was so, so angry. I mean, you could see that the anxiety was just taking him over.
Yeah.
And so his wife said he just sat on the couch and was saying, there's nothing we can do. Nothing we can do. And she easily just went over and contacted the builder, and he came and fixed it within a couple of hours.
Right. And that's the problem with today. Our stressors are so different from what we used to have. But freezing is an unhealthy response. It's an unhealthy thing that we do in response to that stress response. We don't want to freeze and do nothing because that's what makes us sick
unhealthy. And it builds more stress.
Exactly. It creates more stress. This response, what our bodies do is to prepare us to fight, either fight the response, to handle it in some active way. And so we're going to, you know, I always tell people it's like, in the past, our ancestors had, but their stressors that was a bear in the woods, right? Yeah. And we don't have bears in the woods too much these days here in America.
Except
but
on that YouTube video.
Right, yeah. So it's not bears in the woods, it's bills in the mail.
Bills in the mail.
Or it's not Indians in the hills, it's the IRS at our door. And so those kinds of stressors are the ones that affect us today. And so instead of fighting bears or doing something active to release all that adrenaline, we just kind of sit and worry about it.
Well, and people who do kind of freeze, they're truly overloaded, and they've not known. There's probably a lot of stresses leading up to that they haven't known how to deal with. Mm-hmm. And so you can see that they just kind of a meltdown, but okay. So it's healthier to fight or flee.
Yeah, fight or flee. I mean, and the things that those the one thing that those two actions, both of them are actions, right? Either you fight the stressor or you flee from the stressor, and both of those are action oriented. So that tells us that what this response in our bodies is preparing us to do is to be active. And so exercise, in some sense, is what this response is preparing us to do.
And you say that because that exercise of some form, even just moving to go do something, burns adrenaline.
Yeah, and that's the key to it. If adrenaline is the chemical that makes us feel the stress and the anxiety from it, then it makes sense that burning the adrenaline up would get rid of the stress.
Yeah.
And exercise burns adrenaline and gets rid of the stressor. And so that's why exercise is the number one way to fight stress.
Well, I think that it is true because you don't have to know what the stressor is to fight the adrenaline. But I think that knowing what the stressor is important to know what you're fighting on the stressor and what you're fleeing from.
Mm-hmm.
That you've got to know what the stressor is. But you still can relieve the anxiety or the adrenaline pump, which might either make you anxious or angry or whatever. You can do that immediately with exercise to lower it, so maybe you can think clearer.
Right. That's exactly right. I mean, if we can't do 20 minutes of aerobic exercise by running, maybe we can walk, or maybe we can just move around or something. That's the best way. Now, there are numerous other techniques that we're going to talk about in the second half of the program that help with that. But it's doing something about the stress.
Yeah. And I think that even, when I think of Robin and Larry, like Larry can't move. Right.
Right.
And so for him, he's got to use the other mechanisms. And Robin went to him. But in the meantime, since she couldn't get to him, dealing with it through talking to other people, calling people to come get her, having the doctor from the hospital call her, which he did.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good things happened. The nurse was talking to her. And so she took action, even though she couldn't really move. Because of the issue. But one of the things that I would suggest to figure out what's causing the stress, or if you don't really know what it is, because some people just don't know why they're having anxiety or why they're angry. Mm-hmm. And so you can track your stress with a notebook and write it down. What's happened to you, how you responded, how you recovered from it. And you keep that report, kind of that tracking to find out over when you start having trouble to go back and look at it or to just start writing. And then you get more clear and you get clarity over what's happened. And I know I've had a lot of clients do that and they realize, yeah, this is what this is coming from.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, stress is always caused by something scary. We're not always in tune with what that is until we begin to look at it. And that's a really good way to do it. Yeah.
And you can take steps then to reduce it. Mm-hmm. But until then, you need to move. Take action, reach out, but definitely move your body.
Yeah, whenever we feel anxiety, the best thing to do is to move.
To move.
Yeah. Well, and, we were going to say, I was going to say something. I'll wait until we get into it a little bit later.
Okay. Okay. So we talked about exercise relieving stress because we got to get stress out of your system. And so exercise, of course, and honestly, regular exercise helps prevent immense stress from affecting your body and to manage.
Yeah, absolutely. Stress. It helps keep it from building up in us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a really good point.
And I think that what is so important to realize, Larry had and Robin both had been under, they had lost a lot of weight over the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. They had gotten incredibly healthy. And Larry, I mean, honestly, he had just finished, or I think he was in the middle of 30 push-ups in 30 days. Mm-hmm. And so 30 push-ups for 30 days, not right, in right. 30 days. And so he was immensely healthy. And the doctor said, this is the reason you've survived right now since the heart attack as long as you have, and that you're recovering quicker. And so honestly, right now, it's not the heart attack that is his problem. It's pneumonia. And he had a touch of it, and then it got worse and worse and worse. And that's when he had the heart attack. And so the pneumonia is what he's still having trouble with in one lung. And so I just know that the strength that he developed in his body in general has really helped, promote his longer life.
Yeah, that's one of the best things he has going for him. The other is the social community network, the support network, that you mentioned earlier. Prayer, God and a person's trust in God has a lot to do with their frame of mind and their state of being.
Well, and I think faith, in general, people, what they believe about if they can recover, what they believe, how they think about possibilities and miracles or possibilities about their, future. We had so many people posting things like, by the way, miracles can happen. Mm-hmm. And then other people responding, miracles do happen. That was just really, really cool. And very helpful. So I think part of it is knowing that it can.
Absolutely.
And so that's part of faith.
Yeah, really believing it can and will.
And somebody said, life is like a camera. Focus on what's important and capture the good times, develop friendships, capture good times, develop the negatives. They take these words and they make them so positive and encouraging. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people did that. And I just wanted to, before commercial, we actually have been contacted by a lot of people since the last show, just telling us how much it helped them. And sharing similar stories of emergencies and miracles and possibilities. And I'm just going to read one of them from a lady named Joan, and because it would take too long to share all of them. And she said, thank you for sharing Larry's story, your family's story, on your show. We've been praying for Larry and Robin and their families since the story began. And I'd like to share that Larry is the second miracle I have witnessed in my life. My twin brother survived a massive cerebral hemorrhage caused by brain AVM, something that people usually do not survive. And he was 18 years old. And so she went on and shared all about it, his struggle, with the frontal lobe, how it hurt him. and that he was a gifted, that he still is, a gifted lawyer.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
He still works hard to overcome memory issues and his disabilities, including grandma seizures, yet he still practices law. And he remains a very strong and thankful Christian. As the sister, I have felt your and Joan's fear. Joan's my sister. I've been there, and I thought of all of your family. As I was updated on social media posted by Selma, that was a friend in the group, during these times, and your sister Joan's Facebook updates. So how am I connected? I am part of the Awesomes, and those are we are the rogues of Dr. Oz's Share Care Health Group. And she goes on to talk about that for the 4 years they've been in that. And that's what my brother and his wife have gone through Dr. Oz's Share Care and weight loss and all that. We have come to love each other as we have supported each other through our own health issues and weight issues. And boy, do we have a ton of successes. We are an amazing group with a strong bond. And this is funny. It says, Larry is the only brave male amongst 50-plus women. Yay. And a lot of us menopausal ones to boot. Talk about hormones. He is a kind-hearted, immoral man who absolutely adores our Robin. And she said, as I do, Larry. What a love story. And so she goes on and just says, thank you for the show. I hope people take away that miracles are possible and that it's not too late to practice good health. Larry is proof. And so we will go on to commercial. And when we come back, we'll talk about how to relieve all that stress.
Good deal.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
What makes you the best you can be? Is it money? Is it success? Maybe it's love, a good career, home, and family. Could it be a bit of all of these things? Be the best you can be with Dr. Linda Santacola, along with her featured guests, will bring you the tools that could be the answer to the questions you've been asking. You'll get to the root of some of the problems that have been keeping you from being the best you can be and tackle them head on. Listen every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Most married men experience frustration because there are things they want from their wives but don't know how to get them. Nothing seems to work. Desires are unfulfilled, fantasies unrealized, and relationships become stagnant. Men are desperate today for a richer, deeper, more satisfying, and intimate marriage. Dr. Jim Slaughter teaches men how to have the passionate, fulfilling marriage they've always wanted. Call 817-991-4964 or email jslaughterphd@yahoo.com to begin transforming your marriage into what you want it to be. Are you living your dream yet? If not, then why not? Everyone has a greatness inside of them to achieve what they deserve in their lives. But how do you find the motivation to get started? Tune in to Your Authentic Life with host Susan Cranston. Susan's advice, along with expert guests, will help you improve your relationships, start or change your career, and achieve the seemingly unattainable goal. Listen live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
We're on Facebook along with some of the greatest minds of the world, and that includes you. Visit us on Facebook at Voice America Empowerment.
Listening to Living Well with Ann Beal. We'd love to hear from you with comments and questions about the show. Please send us an email to ablivingwell@gmail.com. That's ablivingwell at gmail.com. Now, back to this week's show.
Welcome back. And we want to remind you that if you would like to sponsor Living Well with Ann Beale, we do have partnerships available. We would love to partner with you to continue this great work. And you can just reach me at the email, ablivingwell at gmail.com. Or you can reach out to me through my office, which is called Life Solutions, at 817-232-1363. And we can come up with a great partnership for you.
Yeah.
Well, we're back talking about actually now how to relieve stress. We've gone all into what stress is, what it does, and talked a lot about the hospital environment, what's happened with my brother and sister-in-law. And Dr. Slaughter?
Yeah, and I thought this might be a good time to mention the books that I have helped me the most. Our listeners really appreciate books that they can turn to, materials they can read or study that will help them with the issues that we bring up. And so I wanted to mention these. Probably the best book on stress I've ever read is the book by Walt Schaefer, prophet, Cal Davis. And the title of his book is Stress Management for Wellness, and that's his focus, is keeping well. Walt's a runner and very athletic, and so he but he's very comprehensive. It's actually a workbook, and for people who want to do something practical for themselves when it comes to dealing with stressors in their own life, I can't think of a better work than Walt's to do that. Stress Management for Wellness by Walt Schaefer.
Can you spell Schaefer?
S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R. Walt Schaefer, PhD, Cal Davis.
And Cal Davis is University
of California, Davis. Yeah.
Davis, yeah.
And
I think books really help. I'm still being contacted from the show that we did on the memorial to Dr. Minerith, mm-hmm, Dr. Frank mm-hmm. Minerith, yesterday. I mean, it's been a couple months since I did that show. And yesterday someone messaged me saying that they are getting Happiness is a Choice. And so I thought, wow, people are still buying. I don't know how many people bought that book. I would say 100, 150 from the show. And it is a wonderful book. And so they do. They do appreciate a simple, straightforward, when we tell them it's the best thing out there for depression, or this one, the best thing out there for stress. And I can tell you guys, he read every book on stress out there you could possibly find.
That's my job if I'm going to teach it, right? So, and the next book I want to mention, we already mentioned it, but Don Colbert, the doctor, MD type doctor, the title of the book is Deadly Emotions. If you want to read something that will make you feel the necessity of doing something about stress right this second, it's going to be his book, because he talks about how, I mean, really uses the term, but deadly stress is. And so, but he also talks about what to do about that. And
I think he pretty much considers all those deadly emotions, the hard emotions, those mm-hmm. are all the bad emotions,
right,
how they do put stress on the body. And I'm telling you, you read that book, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to hold any of that in anymore.
Yeah,
I'm going to do these. But he's written so many good books, Dr. Colbert.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Colbert. Because after Deadly Emotions, he came out with Stress Less.
Right, remember? Stress Less. Uh-huh.
And it's different from Deadly Emotions, but it's to again, more skills on stress. But our favorite one is not that one, we have to say.
I ran across a book early on in my study of this, and it to this very day, it is really close to Walt Schaefer's book in my as being my favorite. It's by another MD named Robert Sapolsky, Sapolsky, Robert Sapolsky, and he titled his book Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers.
Right.
And so I was first attracted by the title, and I thought, I got to read this book, and it had its funny design on the front and everything, and just basically what he has to say, it would follow up on what Schaefer says too. The reason zebras don't get ulcers is because they run.
They run.
They run away from the lions on the savannah. They run away from whatever is chasing them. And so either they run. That's the activity, the exercise that they do that burns the adrenaline, that makes them sense the stress after they smell the lion coming, right? And so one of two things is going to happen. Either the zebra's going to get caught and eaten, or he's going to run and get away. And so either way, he's involved in exercise and running. And so Sapolsky, by the way, he's going to go into the chemistry, more of the chemistry of...
Because he's an actual medical doctor.
Yeah, and he's He has a lot of biochemistry in there too, if people are interested in that. But there's enough of the practical stuff that you can get away from that if you want to, and just hear what he has to say. He's very funny. It's a funny kind of book to read.
I think it's funny, and I think it's interesting. Zebras are interesting because they can't be tamed.
Oh, that's true.
And we know that zebras can bite. They can kick. I mean, they don't. If they're upset with you, you will know it.
Yeah.
They won't just give you that glare.
Right.
Some animals do. They just glare at you.
Yeah, that's a good point. Some animals are able to fight off lions, you know, and the zebras have a good kick going. That's for
but
sure.
But they do run away.
Right.
They flee.
Right.
And then, but they also act out their emotions, and that is so cool. Dr. Colbert, as well, is a medical doctor, a heart doctor, and that's when he came out with Deadly Emotions. It was the things he saw in his patients that if they would just do these things, they wouldn't have had the heart issues.
Right.
And
right.
So all of these authors we're talking about today are medical doctors. Most of them are heart doctors, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of them are. And and Walt, you know, he's just he's a health conscious person. He approached stress management from a health perspective,
right?
And so you know, there are different aspects to it, but
which is why it really helps us with our wellness clinic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Just to review quickly, I mean, you know, the stressors of change, we worry about things all the time, and sometimes we get to the place where we feel like there's nothing we can do about it, so we get to thinking, you know, feeling overwhelmed by stuff like that. We worry, we're afraid, the pressure builds up, we become less and less functional, we freeze, like you said, we get sick, and that kind of thing. People are tired and overweight and less functional. We say, I am stressed out.
Yeah, you're getting personal.
No intention there, not trying to do that. And so now we want to talk about staying well, how we stay well in the midst of all of the stressors and everything. And when I teach about this or when I coach people on it, I always begin with the foundation of staying well in the midst of stress, which is called health buffers. There are four health buffers that I teach people how to address. And the number one health buffer is exercise. People have to be involved in some kind of exercise. It can be aerobic exercise, you know, where we get our heart rate up to 120 beats a minute for 20 minutes. It doesn't have to be that. It's some kind of exercise. The second one is...
Now, before you move on, that, you know, when we say exercise, people think of going out and running,
right,
and or aerobics, going to aerobics or something.
Right.
But there's so many other things, biking.
Yeah.
Just
good point.
Taking a bike, right?
Yeah.
You know, jump roping, which to me is difficult. I mean, it just takes a lot of
jumping
energy.
Jumping rope is a tough form.
It wears
of exercise.
You out quickly.
Yeah.
And kicking a karate bag. You go at the karate bag. It only takes seconds before you're totally worn out.
Yeah.
Sprinting, it only takes seconds.
Right.
But you're saying 120, which is not as high. But you do want to get your heart rate up. And you can even run in place, just do a gentle run in place.
You sure can.
Get out walking fast.
Right.
I will
say that lifting weights can get you there, but usually doesn't.
Because it's somewhat anti-aerobic, I think, is what they call it, which I don't know why they call it that.
Right. Well,
because you're sitting still, but your heart rate goes up.
Aerobic means that we're breathing hard. Okay, so when you run, you do. Yeah, that's aerobic because you're breathing hard. It's an exchange of air. Right?
I know, but I breathe hard when I'm lifting weights. I'm just saying.
Okay, and you can't get to that. So yeah, thank you for you know, expanding that, because it's important for us to understand that there are many forms of exercise, and we don't have to pick something that we are bored with or that is too hard for us or that we don't like.
Well, and I've seen people. I won't say who, that when they get anxious, they start cleaning. and I've seen women.
She's talking about me, folks. That's one of my unhealthy techniques.
Well, I don't know. I think it's cool because I don't clean when I get stressed. I eat. But, I don't want to eat. But I think that cleaning, vacuuming, I've seen people do that. And music, turning on music and start cleaning. Music helps.
Yeah, and the main thing about those things, it's not so much the activity itself as the preoccupation that it brings. It shifts our thinking to another place. And so that's
But it does burn adrenaline, too.
It can. Oh, yeah. It does. It does burn adrenaline.
Yeah.
It's not from the exercise so much as it is the shift. We can shift our thinking and and become preoccupied in a more healthy way. And that also brings the adrenaline rate down, which is, you know.
Is that one of your health buffers?
Yeah. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And so anything else about exercise at this point?
No, I could go on and on and on.
I know you could. She's a health nut too and an exercise person. But these four health buffers are where we start. And the first one is exercise. It's the fight or flight thing. That's the first thing to do. The second is diet. And what we eat is very important when it comes to dealing with stress. We want to increase our protein, decrease our carbs and sugars, and some people would say eat lean. That's a good way to eat. But today we've realized that we really are not able to get all of the nutritional value that we would like to get out of just eating whatever it is, 3 square meals a day or something. You know, our soil has become so depleted nutritionally that we have to have supplements in order to stay well. And so looking into taking supplements, that would be the other aspect of diet. We must eat. We eat lean, and we also take supplements.
Supplements help you so much. In fact, I'm drinking some right now.
Yeah,
I am drinking the BTT from Youngevity with the calcium liquid in it, and it truly strengthens your immune system. And it's when we say supplements, we mean vitamins, minerals,
trace minerals,
amino acids,
right?
EFAs.
Yeah, and EFA is essential fatty acids, which would include different fish oils and that kind of thing.
So those are good to also for the diet.
Yeah, absolutely. And, we're reminded always, our colleague Joel Wallach has been, he's the foremost authority in the world on minerals and nutrition and mineral supplements. He's been writing this in this field for probably 40 or 50 years. His is the only book on nutrition that's in the Smithsonian Institution is such a profound work in this field.
And he was nominated for the Nobel Prize.
Absolutely, yeah. He is sort of our mentor, go-to person when it comes to this, and colleague, as I mentioned before. And so we have come to believe in the not just the importance, but the absolute necessity of supplementing our diet with the right minerals.
And our clinic has partnered with Youngevity,
right,
with Dr. Joel Wallach. We just love him.
Yeah. And so diet then would be the second. The third one then, third health buffer that's foundational is sleep. We've got to get the right amount of sleep. I can't tell you how many people come to me and say, I just can't sleep. What do I do? You know, and part of it, a lot of it has to do with dealing in the right way with stressors that they have. You know, they wake up in the middle of the night. When you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and can't get back to sleep, it's almost always because your stressors are going crazy with you. So
exercise can help with that.
Absolutely, it can. And the truth is that all of these are related.
Right.
But sleep is very, very important. Exercising regularly helps us sleep better. Eating better helps us sleep better.
But you can also use, take them from nutrition. They have essential oils, and
right,
so, like lavender, whether you do it with a candle. They also have oils that take the lavender and squeeze out the oil from it, so it's very concentrated.
Right.
And so you can diffuse that into the room. You can put it on you at night. You can spray it on your pillow. One of the greatest things is you can put lavender oil on a Kleenex tissue, stick it under your pillowcase, and you'll sleep like a baby. And so using those oils, whether it be to help energize you, which is lemon, de-stressors, lavender helps with that. They have lots of different kinds of essential oils.
Right.
And Young Living has those oils. Youngevity has those oils.
Right.
And then some health food stores, Sprouts has those oils.
Yeah.
So that you can use those. They have a lot for stress. They have a lot for sleep.
Right. And let me just say that in the past, part of my natural makeup has been to be a skeptic about stuff like that. And yet, you know, we have looked into the importance of mineral supplements for nutrition. We are just now kind of getting into looking into
the
impact of essential oils.
Mm-hmm.
And I have personally used these oils in such a way that I have seen them work on my own body and in my own head. And so I'm looking into it even more. But I just want to say we would never recommend anything on this program that we have not tried and is proven and that can help folks. And so essential oils is a part of that. The fourth health buffer after exercise, diet, and sleep would be what I call healthy pleasures. And I have to admit, I borrowed some of these ideas from Walt Schaefer in his book.
You did.
And he would not mind my doing that, I know. But the idea of healthy pleasures is also foundational to health and well-being. And what healthy pleasures are those things that make us happy, the things that we do that make us happy. They can be hobbies. They can be the kinds of things that we do that we enjoy, that create joy in us, that help occupy our thinking, and that kind of thing. Some people like to work out, and that's a healthy pleasure. For a lot of people, it's not. Some people like walking through an antique mall. Some people like refinishing furniture. Yeah, I like that. Some people like reading a novel.
Yes.
Other people like just walking in the park.
Don't you think when you read one of the, because you have lots of books, and I'll see you rereading them, mm-hmm. like your favorite classics.
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. And you'll have a candle burning. Mm-hmm. Is it usually vanilla? What do you usually, I noticed you're in that, you'll have that ambient light,
right.
You'll be reading, and you'll have a candle burning.
Yeah, you create an ambiance, and I do like to do that. Often it'll be a vanilla candle. It's one of my favorite fragrances and have light just enough to where I can read without squinting, and then read a book that gets me lost in a story.
Because you love books.
Yeah, I do love books. I grew up reading and losing myself in a good story, and so I do that. I mean, you know, I've had opportunity to do fancy research, too, but I really love just novels.
Well, and for me, sitting out on the porch, I love being outside.
Mm-hmm.
I just love being outside in good weather, let me just mention. I don't like cold, rainy. So for me, it's the beautiful days like today.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have a beautiful place. And so I'll be outside, and I'll be looking at the animals, looking at the flowers, the sun will be shining on my face,
mm-hmm.
And the wind, and hearing the birds. And that is a very healthy pleasure for me, being able to do that,
yeah,
having a place that I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go hiking, when we go to the lake, kind of a, I don't want to say mountain area, everybody would laugh if I said that, hilly.
Yeah, it's very
hilly area.
Right.
But it's in the woods, mm-hmm. and we see deer, and we see...
So bobcat one day.
Oh, we did see a bobcat. That caused stress. Because I didn't. He just stared at me. And armadillos, which mm-hmm. we saw baby armadillos. That was so wonderful. And even swimming in the lake.
Swimming, yeah. And that's a good exercise too, by the way, right?
It was very relaxing.
It was relaxing,
yeah.
And so that's the idea of healthy pleasures. And, you know, and we've talked about this so many times and developed our own. But for a listening audience, it's very important for them to think about, okay, what makes me happy? What brings me joy? What helps me relax? And for different people, it's different things. You know, you mentioned music. That's true.
Music can really help. And it brings joy, too. But also, some people, you know, when you think of puppies or you think of kitties.
Or animals.
You think of animals so much that they can help. And because it really makes a difference to us when there is a day we go hiking and we don't see any animals.
Right.
We talk about it, and why aren't there any animals? It takes our pleasure away.
I know. I can't believe we didn't see any today, you know, that kind of thing. And
but Jim really, he gets much happier, and I see that the woods sedate him. He was a Boy Scout, an Eagle Scout.
Yes,
he loves the woods.
Yes,
so there's a part of hiking where there's no woods, and we always have to get, it is like 30 minutes away, where we have to get to the trees.
Yeah.
And so I know, even if I'm tired, it's not going to be a real hike. Healthy pleasure for him until we get to the trees.
It's different for me. From you. You like the pure exercise, and I like you know, some of the other things.
Some people like scrapbooking. That's a healthy pleasure
absolutely.
For them.
Yeah.
But also being with friends.
Mm-hmm. And so the important thing is to identify those things.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that relaxes me and makes me feel good? Because what that does is that this is another way besides exercise to burn the adrenaline. It actually makes the adrenaline level go down, which makes all of those stress response components go down as well, and we begin feeling better.
Now, that's because the brain switches the chemical
from
adrenaline to something that calms the adrenaline.
Right, dopamine. Serotonin, oxytocin, and those chemicals come out, and those are the feel-good chemicals, whereas the other ones are the bad-feel chemicals. Okay?
So that is why just switching your thinking and distracting you from what you were thinking about, that was something stressful or bad, to something pleasurable. Because yesterday I had a girl, when I asked her to come up with a positive anchor, something she could use whenever she gets anxious at school, mm-hmm. that if she would just think of something that brought her joy in the past. And at first she said nothing.
Yeah.
And she goes, I don't think I had anything like that. And I said, well, it may take a while to go back. Maybe when you were a little kid. And she goes, Wow. When I was in Connecticut, we would rake up the leaves and jump in the piles.
Oh, wow.
And she talked about how many leaves. Connecticut has a lot of trees. And she she said they were orange and yellow and that they would rake them up. And she showed me how big the pile was. It was probably as big as this room, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And that they would jump in them. And it just sounded, and she got into that, you could see she'd start smiling. And it just brought this wonderful, really, feeling to the room.
Yeah, yeah.
So she changed from, the chemistry changed.
Right. And that's exactly right. You've done a good job describing that. Yeah, super job. That's what happens. We start feeling better just because it's something we enjoy and chemicals change, right? I'm not sure, you know, what our time's going to allow us to do here, but it's important, I think, for us to begin getting into the idea of ways that people can handle their stress when they have to live with it. If you can get rid of it, that's great. If you have a job you hate, get a job you like. If you run out of money at the end of the month, put together a budget, balance a checkbook, get rid of the stressor. But sometimes there are some things we can't get away from, so we say, okay, how do we live with it? How do I manage it? And so that's where we kind of wanted to go with the end of the program here. We've already mentioned regular exercise as an approach to that, as a technique, a stress management skill or technique, whatever kind of exercise we enjoy doing. Another thing that is very helpful, one of the best things for me that helped me in times of stress, is what we call positive self-talk. Positive self-talk is just talking myself out of the stress or through the stress, and it would be things like saying to myself, you know, this isn't as bad as I thought it was. I will get through this. There is an end in view. There is a silver lining. Good things come from bad things. Order can come from chaos. You know, it's that kind of thing. God will make a way for me. And so when we say those kinds of things to ourselves, that's positive self-talk, and it reduces the stress.
Which a lot of people I know put on Facebook and on Pinterest.
Right.
There's a lot of what they, I guess they call them memes. They're pictures with statements. But some of them are just statements they put on there. And so, like, laughter makes the blood flow more freely. Laugh every day. Mm-hmm. And by the way, miracles can happen. Mm-hmm. And this one I just love. Life is like a camera. Just focus on what's important and capture the good times. Develop from the negatives, and if things don't turn out, just take another shot. And so those that spend time with a loved one today, healthy pleasure. When you meet someone that your heart goes crazy for, your heart gets a workout. And so there's just lots of thinking statements. And they'll put pictures, like I put that cute little puppy hugging that teddy bear and said joy. Mm-hmm. And remember to love an animal today. Right. And so just even thinking positively, putting happy pictures, happy statements, some positive statements. A lot of people put a lot of encouraging things. I mean, they found these statements on Pinterest or wherever, and they were so encouraging to us with my brother's stuff and to Robin. Robin put a bunch on there too to just say, think positively. Mm-hmm. Things can happen. Good things happen. Miracles can happen.
Right, and there's more that I could say about that. There's a kind of organizing energy that happens when we do that, and that's very important. Just a few other things, though. Deep breathing exercises.
Deep breathing.
Where I take 10 deep breaths, and people, you know, talk about it's kind of funny, but that really helps. Meditation can help. Prayer helps. What we call visual imaging.
Imagining. Which was that positive anchor. We had her think back.
Right.
And to just immediately think on that, those leaves, and jumping in those leaves.
Right.
Or for me, when I was riding horses, just think on that positive imagery.
Yeah. And, you know, talking to someone, we mentioned that before.
Reaching
just
out.
Getting it, talking about it relieves stress.
Right. These are some great tools. Thank you, Jim, for being with us.
Oh, I loved it. Thank you for having me.
And thanks, everyone, for listening. We hope we've helped you know what stress is, what causes it, and what to deal with it.
If you need help with stress and would like to contact me, you can call my phone, 817-991-4964, or email me at jslaughter, jslaughter, at yahoo.com.
JSlaughter, PhD at yahoo.com.
Oh, PhD.
Thank you very much, and thanks for being on. Thank you so much for listening to Living Well. We'll see you next week.
Thank you again for joining us. Living Well with Ann Beal airs live every Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. We can't wait to see you again next week.